And welcome, everybody, to Off the Hook Overtime here on YouTube. Emmanuel over here. Kyle, make it okay?
Hi.
How you doing? We have Rob Gila and Alex all in Signal Land.
We do. Hello.
Yeah.
And
yep,
I have,
over here.
There you go. I had a channel down. I'm sorry. Well, it's
pretty... And the van just moved.
Yes. That van that's been parked outside just moved because we noticed it. But now there's another van replacing it. it's hot and muggy. I don't know if you can tell. I'm just kind of trying to stay conscious here. Alex, mm-hmm. It looks like you're in a pleasant place. Where the hell are you?
I'm at an undisclosed location in Manhattan.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for not disclosing a location, because that turns into most of the show half the time.
Yeah, I'm at my new place.
Okay.
Actually, so,
wow.
In a sense, you know. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's not so bad, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm outside, so I'm getting eaten alive by mosquitoes, despite having this citronella candle going. I think I have to go get the other one.
You're in a place in New York City that requires mosquito repellent.
Yeah.
All right.
I am. Yeah, there's a lot of green here.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In any event, yeah. So, but I am in a new place. So hopefully it wasn't too loud. Was it too loud on the radio?
There was an airplane landing, but other than that, I think it was okay. Maybe some sirens.
Yeah, it's okay. And how are my levels? Are they any better? Because I'm using different equipment.
Did you hear
over
me?
The last 2 weeks.
Did you hear me complain?
I didn't, for once.
Well, that should tell you something.
Yeah, okay. All right, so this is better. All right, excellent. I got some AirPods, and that's what I've been using.
Very cool. Yes, Kayla.
Yeah.
I just wanted to take a moment for a completely unsolicited advertisement and say that, yes, it is warm, it is muggy, and we got these little neck gel tubes that you put in the freezer and put around your neck.
What the? Okay. They look like headphones without the phone part.
Right, but watch.
Yeah.
Put it around your neck, and it keeps you cool.
Keeps your neck cool?
It cools down your whole body by cooling your neck. And it's pretty warm in here, but we're doing okay.
This is how we can make radio with the air conditioning off and not subjecting our audience
to the
noise of our fans and such.
I just assumed you were attached to some kind of a device or something with those contraptions around your necks.
No, that's what these are for.
The headphones,
The headphones were connected. But these are little chill thingies. And, you know, they are completely silent. And they keep you cool for about 3 hours.
All right.
So
what's the catch? I'm sorry, we're doing a late night TV thing here. So tell me what the catch is, Gila. It can't
There's
be that
no
good.
Catch. And if you ask now... No, I got nothing.
I am acting now, believe me.
So, this has kept me incredibly comfortable since we started the show. So I just wanted to take a moment and say that you may want to consider investing in
some
of
these. Well, this could be great for our listeners, because I know many of them are uncomfortable for the hour that we're on, and something like this could help them get through that. But how long does it last for?
About 3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll get you through overtime and the post show.
As soon as overtime is over, we turn the AC back on, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm just saying these are great.
Mm-hmm. In the event of a blackout, though, you know, maybe it's a good idea to get a freezer full of these things. That way, you can just go from one to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And
we got a three pack, so you know, we each have one on right now, and then there's an extra just in case.
Is this not like having an ice pack on your neck?
That's exactly what it is.
It is, okay. But it's not melty.
It's an ice pack that's shaped like the letter U, so you can cradle it around your neck.
Uh-huh. And I suppose if you really wanted to, you could use it as a headband. I recognize that's more of an issue for me than it is for you.
I mean, we could do some Jordy LaForge cosplay with it over our eyes.
What about those, you know, ice pops? They were called Cool Pops when I was a kid. But you can eat them afterwards, you know? Well, actually,
they're kind of soft by then,
but still.
Freezy, juicy, tubey things?
Yes, those things you get like 100 of them for a dollar.
I don't like those.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good to know that you found comfort in these weird things.
Also, greetings to the 35 people who are with us right now. That number, amazingly enough, did go up while we were having that little discussion about the neck tubes. So, hooray. Oh, and someone just left. That's fine.
That's what happens when you talk about them. All right. We can just open up the phone lines right away and not have so much banter amongst ourselves. I know some people like that.
We could certainly do that. Should we give out the phone number? Is it time to do that?
You can. I'm not going to, but you're welcome to.
Okay. Wait, you're not going to because you don't want people to call?
I have my reasons for not giving out the phone number, and I'm just not going to give out the phone number.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I will take the liberty and give out the phone number, which is United States phone number 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. You can also catch us toll-free within the U.S. at 833-755-2600. I believe that still works. That was set up by a friend of the show. Or you could type us things in the live YouTube chat and tell us what's on your mind there.
And I can verify that is, in fact, the phone number. I will not say the phone number, but I can verify that that is correct. And we have a phone call.
Of course we do.
And I think it's from the familiar
face. Hold on. I got to get to my computer.
Who could that be, I wonder?
I got things to talk about today, but I got to get to my computer. Hold on. I'm getting fly.
Is he imitating himself or is someone else doing it?
No, I got to get inside. I got to get to my computer. Hold on.
Well, why were you outside? You shouldn't be outside.
I was riding my bicycle.
There was a petition.
I was riding my bicycle.
Well, then call when you're at your computer, not while you're riding your bicycle to it.
All right. Hold on. Okay, you're going to go? Okay. All right. Let me get to my computer. My phone.
Where is your computer? For God's sake, it's so far away.
It's inside the house. Hold on.
You know, Rebel.
You have no idea what he's up against, Emmanuel.
You're somebody without a computer, too. You know, that you should focus on being that person.
Well, no, I have my... just a second. I have the... You know what? Let me mention while I'm here that... there's an issue. There's a thing in the UK for those who are listening in the UK. You on a payphone in the UK, you can call the United States or any other country, probably a cell phone collect.
Okay, well, I don't know why you can't do that to start with, but yeah, calling and collect used to be something people did a lot.
No, you should. In the United States, I've done this when I was in London.
Mm-hmm.
I called my cell phone collect. You got to dial the international operator and then just dial your home phone number collect, and it will work. But you won't get a bill. You won't get charged.
That's probably because the calls don't cost anything anymore.
Why then do they allow? Why do they still have collect calls?
Why is there an international operator? That must be the loneliest job in the world.
It probably is. I mean,
talk to them. Ask them if they're okay. If they're locked in a room somewhere. I mean, I used to call the international operator all the time, and it was a lot of fun. I've many of those mm-hmm. recordings, and they had power. They could route calls places. They could keep trying things for you. It didn't cost anything. It was amazing. But those days are gone.
Okay, I just imagine it's like the beginning of War Games with the two guys in the room at computers and, you know, one had to pull a gun on the other one and go, turn your key, sir. I think that's what international operators are doing
now. I always wondered in that film, didn't the other guy also have a gun? You know, I mean, you pull a gun on me, what do you expect me to do? You know, I just think they're...
they were aiming at each other from opposite sides of the room.
Uh-huh.
At the guy in the middle.
Uh-huh, there we go again. See, it all comes back to that.
Nice callback.
Rebel, I hope you've gotten to your computer and that you have a point that you're going to get to as well.
Logging on to Google Voice to demonstrate something now.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, what I'd like to demonstrate is the fact that I'm going to demonstrate a number that doesn't tell you... let me call the dermatologist. And
why?
I had to see a...
Why are you calling a dermatologist? It's after hours.
because making an appointment, or if you want to call them, they have, like, many numbers. Look what happens when you call. They don't tell you who called.
They don't tell you who called? Why would they tell you? You're calling.
Wait a minute. Because if you make an appointment, I was at this office, this doctor's office. There were people sitting there, like, on their phone. I just, got their phone number and called it, but it doesn't go to them. You know, it goes to an AI thing. Let me call it. This is what happened.
I wonder if...
Oh, no.
I wonder if the international operator is AI.
No, that's the other thing. File faded sound.
Well, we're off to the races tonight in quick order. Why did you record these things and just play them back to us when they work?
This call may be recorded for training purposes. If this is an emergency, please hang up and dial 911. You will be speaking to an automated assistant.
Isn't that annoying?
Yeah, it's all annoying. Believe me, you have no idea. But, has anybody ever been in a training course where they play back phone calls that customers were part of? Has anyone ever heard the other side of that? I assume the silence from you people means nothing.
That's a good... I always wonder about that.
Never.
Totally get it.
All right.
Yeah, I've never heard of it, but it's a great question. It's always been on my mind.
Let's call this one.
Thank you for calling. Your message is important to us. If this is a medical emergency, please hang up immediately and call 911 for help. Otherwise, please leave your full name, phone number with area code, date of birth...
That's what happens when you call up and, change an appointment or make an appointment. They're sitting there on their phone. They could be answering calls and, changing appointments and things like that.
I'm not sure what the point is. Can you leave a message or not?
No, you can leave a message, but the thing is that you can leave a message, but... You had to talk in AI, and I asked them.
Gail, are you okay?
I asked them.
I'm fine. I thought you were muted. I'm sorry.
I asked the lady at the desk. I said, if I wanted to change an appointment, can you do it? Like, no, it's the call center. I mean,
well, call centers are nothing new. AI is a different flavor. I know that, but.
Yeah. One of the agents will be with you shortly.
The point is, can you leave information and will it be applied to who you are by the people you want to talk to?
For customer service.
This is what happens when you call, let's see, 949-210.
Don't give out the phone number, for God's sake. Why? Why do that?
Yeah, but it doesn't tell you who called, or what you called.
What do you mean it doesn't tell you who called? Why would it tell you who called?
No, it doesn't tell you what you called.
No, they don't give their name, right? It's a generic recording. Is that your point? It's a generic recording?
Yes, no, but it should say, thank you for calling
the name of the place. Yeah, I know, but not everybody is puts that much attention in. Maybe you want a dermatologist that says the name of the dermatology center.
Or whatever. I mean, back in the 90s, they used to, do that.
Back in the 90s, people were different. It wasn't like today. We can't go back.
People seemed to laugh more then.
Yeah, they did. They really did. Things were funnier back then.
Yeah.
All right, Rebel, is this all you got? Because it's kind of lame this week, I think.
Alex.
Uh-oh. Yeah, Alex.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're
right. Uh-oh. I'm being summoned?
Yeah, when the next time you go to London, look at it, go to a payphone and dial 155 to the international operator and just call your cell phone, collect.
Wait, you can go to a payphone and dial 155 and you get the international operator? But we've never had anything like that.
Yeah, and then in London, in the UK, you can.
Wow. That's kind of cool. And that still works.
I'll be going to Switzerland and Italy at the end of July, so, I wonder if they'll finish the place phones and technology they play with.
Will you be back in time for Hope?
Of course I will. In fact, my flight leaving Italy, I made it the day before Hulk is when I'm coming back.
Okay.
So hopefully it won't be too jet lag.
Well, I doubt we'd notice. Well, Rebel, it's been fun as always, but we're going to move on, take some more phone calls.
Okay.
So I want to thank you for calling and keep dialing all those numbers and seeing what's out there.
Yeah.
All right. Take care. Wow, it's like he's got his own starship and just exploring the cosmos. Are you smoking a cigar, Alex? Why? This is what you... Robin Gila are somehow the smoke is getting into their videos.
But you would think, right? I mean, this is what I have to do to keep the mosquitoes at bay here. I've got two citronella candles, Karen, getting eaten alive here, and we have a phone call.
We do. Just want to make sure nothing goes alight where you are, because, boy, that's huge. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, one of my articles was published in 2600. When will I receive my gift?
You will be notified, and basically you get notified shortly after the issue comes out. Sometimes it's a few weeks after, sometimes it's even a month or two after, but it's almost always before the next issue comes out. And then you have a choice of things that you can get. Oh, really? Okay. I guess they just want to ask their damn question and be done with it. Fine.
Very efficient phone call there.
But if only everybody was like that.
The opposite of
Rebel. Tell me what you want and then just get the hell out. Yeah, that's
he wasn't even on a bicycle when he called in.
Well, you don't know that.
I was gonna ask which article was there so I could check it out, but now I'll never know.
Yes. Well, phone lines are open.
Yeah, and Alex, just be really careful because if you just got that place, you don't want to burn it down already.
No.
Give it some time.
No, that's why I'm outside.
Somebody needs a phone number. Let's take this particular call as well. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you?
How you doing?
Pretty good. Guess we're almost up to his old tricks again. Hey, Alex. I want to tell you, I really think you're a great guy. A guy that got
very kind.
You're really a smart guy. I just want to tell you that I really think a lot of you.
How come I never get calls like this?
That's very kind. That's very, very kind. I appreciate that. And it's nice to see that, and rather hear that people are listening. So thank you.
Yeah, well,
he didn't say he was listening. He said you're a great guy. Maybe he's not listening to you.
maybe it means you're not listening carefully.
I don't always agree with you, Alex, but I think you're super more intelligent than I'll ever be. But I have a question for you. It's a hypothetical question. It's a legal question, and I would like you to talk about it. You guys might think I'm a little off the wall, but the U.S. Constitution says persons. It doesn't say human beings, correct?
That's correct, actually. Yeah, I was just talking about this with my son earlier today. That's exactly right.
Wait, is this your son calling?
No. His voice isn't that deep yet.
I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Okay, here's the question. Let's say a supernatural being, either vampires or some other creatures, were found out in the United States. Would they have constitutional rights, or would the government be able to do anything they wanted to them?
I am
That's
so happy Alex has to answer this question.
That is a great question, actually, right? Wow. I hadn't thought of that, ever.
Remember, you're under oath.
That's right. Excellent question. And it really would hinge, I think, on this definition of what a person is, right? And this is a particularly important distinction when it comes to what's going on with ICE in the country, right? Because the Constitution talks about equal protection under the law for every person, right? It doesn't say for every citizen. It's for every person. It doesn't matter if you're an immigrant. It doesn't matter if you're here legally or illegally. The Constitution applies to persons, right? So that is what our caller is driving at here. And if another life form visited our country, our planet, rather, I guess they'd have to visit our country, too, for this particular provision to apply and for the Constitution to apply, we'd have to presume that an alien life form visited the United States. I don't think that they would have the same rights under the Constitution, unless it was very clear that this alien life form was also so close to us such that they should also be considered a person or to have personhood.
Alex, let's say they talk like us, they feel like us, they're a sentient being, okay? They are basically have a human form, but they have extra abilities. Let's say we can't define it. Would they be considered a human? Would they be considered an alien life force? I mean, let's just say, for example, a vampire or some other natural, you know, supernatural being. The reason why, because they're having a discussion, and someone said, look what happened in 1692 when they burned a lot of witches at the stake. Could that ever happen again in the United States?
Yeah, I think it could. I think it absolutely could. And look, this is a great, interesting thought experiment here, right? And I think, you know, in these spacefaring times, it's particularly important to really understand, you know, the limits of the reach of our national laws and our constitutions and our norms and things. And so I do think that it would be a particularly hard case to make unless, like you say, they look like us, they act like us, they talk like us, they think like us, they reason like us, that we'd have to make a case for them being persons and having rights. But I think initially there would be a lot of fear and there would probably be a lot of discriminatory practices and exploitation of whatever those beings were, because we'd be so curious about their biology, about their processes, and then particularly, you know, their innards, right, their internal biological functions and how they work and how they, you know, they come from another planet or they are some kind of supernatural being or they exist on, you know, feeding on other people's blood if we're talking about vampires or something like that. A vampire is an interesting case, though. Would a vampire actually have rights? I mean, because a vampire is really just an undead human, though, right? Would a vampire still be a person? We probably do need some D&D players to call up and talk about the nature of the undead and whether the U.S. Constitution would apply to them.
I want the Supreme Court to have to weigh in on this.
I would love to see that. Yes, I would love to see a dissent from Sotomayor protecting the rights of the undead.
Well, I know how Thomas is going to rule in their favor because he's pretty close to the undead himself right now.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, he kind of he's known to be like the least active judge on the bench, right? Like he went so many years without ever asking a question from the bench, which is crazy. Such a neglect of that particular power.
Hey, Alex, here's the question. What is a sanctioned being? Does a sanctioned being mean that it could think, it could feel, it could love? Wouldn't that be a definition of a person, a sanctioned being?
Well, I think a dog can also think and feel and love, and a camel can probably love.
How dare you compare a dog to a vampire? Vampires can speak. Vampires can have conversations. You know, this is like a conversation James Kirk had on the Enterprise.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, vampires are if they did exist, what's quite scary about them is that they prey on humans, right? So they would be
not necessarily if they were so far advanced and they were using synthetic blood. But here's the real question. Look at Star Trek. Say Star Trek came to visit us, someone like Spock or some other alien. Would he have rights?
Yeah, I really don't know the answer to that question. I think the answer would probably hinge on the biological and physical similarities of that being to us. I think somebody like Spock probably would. Like, we'd presume that Spock should have rights because he looks so humanoid.
Excuse me. Lieutenant Commander Data had a trial on the Next Generation. He was given rights, mm-hmm. and he's not biological.
Yeah, that's true. But I think you have stumped me. I mean, you set me up here so nicely with the smart guy fluff talk over there, and now you've totally stumped me here because I don't know the answer to this question. I think it's a great thought experiment, and I just don't know.
I think Rob wants to weigh in.
Yeah, I think that's my cue to jump in. The smart guy can't handle this one, so I'm going to step up. But now, if you were talking Star Trek, but I think if you want a really good sci-fi look at this sort of thing, there was a really good TV series in the 90s called Alien Nation. You guys remember this? And it was based on a film. The film was okay, but the series was great because the idea is that there's this race of refugee aliens who are very humanoid, just, a little different, a little weird, and they all land on Earth as refugees and have nowhere else to go, and so they have to be integrated into society. And so much of the drama in this show was about the bureaucracy and the practicality of integrating them into Earth society and, the prejudices and everything else and their struggles. But life was not easy for them. But going back to the question, I think I hate to say something this cynical because it's not usually my thing, but I think our government in reality, in the present day, has not yet figured out how to treat every human being like a person, let alone, supernatural beings. So, we have to get a handle on the fact that we are all people before we have, I think, are even able to start considering the fact that other species might be people as well.
Well, that brings up...
I actually agree with you there, but I would say one thing, what would be scary, is I think you would have the church screaming, and you might do things like we did in the 1940s, where we put Japanese in concentration in camps. So it would be a scary thing, and it would just be interesting to see how someone like you, Alex, or other lawyers could actually argue on their behalf.
Yeah, well, I think... a lot of it would go down to, this notion of personhood, right? If these other supernatural beings or persons, had the if they were sentient, if they were reasoning, if they were physically like us, and even I think if they weren't physically like us so much, I think that we should probably afford them some kind of at least bodily integrity, or I think it's likely they would be considered to be persons. But think about it from this capacity as well, or this perspective. If we treat corporations as persons, why wouldn't we treat another sentient, reasoning life form that came and landed on our planet and obviously had the scientific know-how to get here? Why wouldn't we treat that thing or that life form also as a person subject to the same types of rights that we give to corporations?
Alex, have you met the human race? Do you really think we're going to do that? We're just going to shoot at them and start a war.
Yeah, I know. I'll treat them like people from New Jersey. I know. Yeah.
No, seriously, Alex, I'm just going to say this much. If they're biological, then wouldn't they be considered alive? And wouldn't the definition be able to reason, love, or whatever it is, considering a site should be? That's the last question. Then I want to just make a comment on Brock AI because I've been having problems with them.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, and by the way, it's very nice. I hope you guys didn't think I went off the wall, but I figured you might be a person of an interesting conversation to talk about.
It's a great question.
Do they have rights? But getting back to Grok AI, they're having a lot of issues. I didn't know they launched missiles, but I will tell you this much. They have so many technical issues right now. They're charging people, and they're not even living up to what they promise you, especially with conversations and different things. And they do a lot of hallucinations. I found so many times you ask it a question, it goes on a tangent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really use Grok at all, but... I use Claude a lot. I use mostly Claude code. I like the command line version. I think it gives you a particularly special, almost like superpower when you give it access to local files in a controlled way that you can get it to do some interesting things and generate some interesting insights. And if I need something really quickly done that I can trust, I like to use Perplexity. But I for the most part just don't use Grok as a matter of principle because it's associated with Elon Musk.
Okay, yeah, well, my problem with Grok, I like Grok for one reason. It's great if you're blind, you can talk to it in a conversation. And if you want to type, then you have to use a screen reader. That's why I like Grok. You can ask it questions. But it has a lot of problems with voice, and there's a lot of comments online that they're not responding to people's issues, and they are charging. And actually, in the beginning, when they were totally free, they were much better. And now even their paid service is pretty lousy.
Wow.
But I'm going to let you guys go. I think I've given you guys enough sci-fi, but I actually wanted to hear what you had to say, Alex, on this subject. And it's a kind of interesting subject. I guess it would be something for some professors, for students to have a discussion about.
Oh, it definitely is, and I've been researching it as we've been talking, and people have actually written scholarly articles about this particular topic. So you're not the only person asking this question, and some people have probably given it deeper thought than me, or at least than I did, you know, here on the air. But I'm going to look into this, and I would like to continue this conversation, I guess not next week because we don't have overtime next week, but maybe in 2 weeks' time, come back and carry on this interesting thought experiment.
Because, by the way, there's a couple of books, and it was written by this lady. I don't remember her name, but she wrote a whole bunch of books about witches and different people, and it was written around Oxford and a couple of other schools in England, and professors discussing this, and also about supernatural communities.
Fascinating, yeah. I'll tell you, Oxford is a great place. It's a fun, interesting city. And if you ever have the opportunity to get over there, I would definitely recommend it. I could recommend you some places and things. It's just it's an extraordinary place where there is so much intellectual horsepower concentrated into this one little city in the UK that it's an extraordinary place to be for a few years.
By the way, they have some great libraries. I think they have some, I don't know if it's Oxford or one of the other schools, is supposed to have a library that goes back several hundred years.
Oh, there's so many interesting libraries in Oxford. You also have the Bodleian Library, which is the major library of the university, and it's so massive. I mean, it's in several different buildings. You have the Bodleian Building, and then you have the Radcliffe Camera, which is a kind of iconic Oxford structure, that cylindrical type thing that's in all the postcards and whatnot. That's actually a science library that's part of the Bodleian. But underneath the city are all these tunnels that you can't see, and there are, you know, literally people whose job is to run around these tunnels in the city and get books out for the students. And so there's this massive network of tunnels from the Bodleian Library that have existed for some, I don't know for how long, but I think for quite a long period of time. So it's a fascinating place. I've never been in the tunnels. I think it would be kind of cool to check it out.
Well, I read this book, a couple of books, by Deborah Harkness. She wrote a couple of books. She's a history professor, and she actually did talk about the tunnels. She talked about how it was a whole supernatural thing, but she was very accurate on all of the various places, all the various things in that community.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's amazing things. I mean, when I was there, I was at New College, which was the New College of St. Mary. There was another college that had existed before, whose patron saint of the college was St. Mary. So this was the New College of St. Mary. But the college is actually from the 14th century. So I would walk around and basically, you know, look at structures from the 1300s and just, you know, marvel at them. And I lived in college right on the other side of the garden. There's a beautiful garden. And New College and Magdalen were some of the only two to preserve the old city wall. And the old city wall dated back to the 12th century, so the 1100s. And, you know, I used to smoke back then. Now, apparently, I just smoke cigars and various other things. But I used to go and have a cigarette in the garden and lean against this wall and think, my God, you know, this wall is just about four times older than my entire country. And, you know, and it would blow my mind. You know, these stones have been sitting here for, you know, it was 900-something years. I'm just, you know, still leaning up against them, having a cigarette.
Wow.
Pretty cool place.
All right, listen, we're gonna move on, but thank you for all the thoughts and random noises. He just hung up, too. Wow, no one says goodbye anymore. What's up with that?
Well, it started a trend.
Yeah, yeah. So, Oxford, yeah, you know, I'm fascinated by it. I'd love to see it someday. You seem to be quite familiar with Oxford as well, having spent some time there. I have a question. Do they have a football team?
I think they do, right? I think they do. I think they have, do they have Oxford United?
I'm asking you.
I really honestly don't know. I'm not a big football fan.
Yes, but being in a particular town for years, you couldn't help but hear about them, I'm sure. Unless they're so bad that people don't want to talk about them.
Yeah, I think there is an Oxford United. Is that Gila seems to have been.
Gila seems to have the information because she always has the information. Go ahead, Gila.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oxford United, professional football club. Y'all, they're in League One. They got relegated down last year.
So League One is actually the third division.
Like, correct.
There's Premier League, there's the Championship, and then there's League One. I preferred it when they called it 1, 2, 3, and 4. And there's more beyond that, too, but nobody talks about them.
They're in League One. They've been called Oxford United since 1960. They were the Headington Football Club, and they were founded in 1893.
Headington, that makes sense, yeah.
And they have been at Kassam Stadium since 2001.
Okay, well, that satisfies my curiosity. Now, I have an idea that I had while listening to all the vampire stuff. On the half hour, we look at how many people are...
How many people are...
Why am I echoing?
Why?
Nobody wants to admit doing that?
Is it echoing now?
No, not anymore. It was you.
Okay, yeah, I think it was because I switched over because I had to take my earpiece out. I have somebody at the door that I have to let in, so I'll be back in a second.
Well, you're not going to hear my idea. It's important.
If
30 minutes past the hour. It only takes me a second. 30 minutes past the hour, we look at how many listeners we have, and that's how many minutes we go. So we had 43 listeners at 30 past. That means we end at 43 minutes past the hour. There, that's it.
Interesting.
So if we get 1,000 listeners, we'll be on for a good long time. So, you know, it gives the listeners control.
Huh. It's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
And no, an exciting
algorithm. Because we have more now.
Yeah. Well, we have a phone call, but Kyle's not in the room, so here he is. But this will probably be the last phone call because we're going off the air at 43 minutes past. I think it's a good idea.
I think given the rising temperature in this apartment, it's a very good idea.
Yeah, I think I'm motivated by the rising temperature here in the studio. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I heard you guys talking about the phone recording stuff a little bit ago and talking about, like, does anybody ever actually listen to those calls when people are saying it's going to be recorded? And I actually had a little bit of experience with that kind of stuff. So
really?
Yeah, I used to work at a regional cell phone provider back about 20-some-odd years ago, and so I was one of the guys on the phone picking up, trying to fix people's phones whenever they were dropping calls and all that fun stuff. But when I was doing it, there was basically two reasons why one of my calls would get listened to. Is one, if somebody complained, which fortunately wasn't that often, but the other one was all the supervisors had to listen to a certain amount of calls per week, just picking at random. I forget how many they had to do, like 10 or 20 a week or whatever. So they would just kind of click on random people's calls and listen to them and just kind of try and figure out, you know, make a little chart about who's doing good, who's doing bad. So
okay,
I imagine it's probably similar these days with that kind of stuff. You know, there is a chance it'll get listened to, maybe more if it's more interesting. But, yeah, it's not as exciting as it sounds like. It's just bunch of people sitting around just flagging, you know, did they follow the script type of thing.
But yeah, okay, I could see that. That's fascinating that you actually were somebody who was part of that.
Yeah, it was an interesting time back then. It was a lot more hands-on than the kind of stuff that goes on now. You know, now it's pretty much all just over IP and not a whole lot of switches to mess with, but, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Technology moves on.
It does. Sometimes it moves backwards, but those were some magical days back then, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
All righty. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Take care. Wow. So, yeah, okay. People do listen. I don't know if people listen today, but they did listen in the past. I remember, you know, one of the first jobs I ever had, I've always tried to forget, is being a telemarketer, if you can believe that. I think I lasted 2 days, maybe. But I remember the training session there. You would go into this big room, and there must have been about 20 people all making phone calls at once, and selling ridiculous things like, you know, monogram pens and just nonsense. And the guy who was training was very full of himself and thought he could do everything right. And he was actually making a demo call to show us how it was done, how it was done properly. And he was just giving the spiel, you know, the sales pitch, all that. And in the background, you could hear the person that he was calling. And I don't think he meant for us to hear that person, but there was a person there. And they were just saying, can you please stop calling me and get off my phone line? You could just hear them getting more and more angry, but very, very far away because it was literally the receiver in his ear. That was his demonstration of how to make a proper phone call. But it also was kind of foreshadowing of how welcome we would be when we called people in their homes at dinner time to try and sell them pens. About the most fun I had at that job was figuring out how to make local calls with the MCI dial tone that they had. They had an MCI dial tone, and it was programmed to only be able to call long distance, which was weird. But I figured out a way to route it so that it would ring the phone that was on the supervisor's desk. And what I would do is I'd call that number when he was on the other side of the room so that he would have to walk all the way back to get to the phone. And I'd be on the phone as if I was making a sales call, which I was not. And then as soon as he got to the phone, I'd hang up. And there'd be nobody there. And then he'd go all the way back to where he was, and the same thing would happen again. And that's how I got through 2 days of being a telemarketer. Okay. Well, it's 1 minute before my deadline. And we can go beyond the deadline, by the way, because I said 43. If we're having a good conversation, we can keep going. But 43 is pretty much the cutoff. Good evening. You're on All for the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, wow.
I just want to say, Emmanuel, I think very highly of you, and I think you're a fascinating guy, and you have great ideas, and I enjoy listening to you.
You know, Alex isn't in, he left. He's not there. He didn't hear this. Oh, there you are. Alex, did you hear that? Did you hear that, listener?
I didn't hear that. What was it? I just missed it. I was being distracted.
Could you repeat that again and try to be as sincere as you were the first time?
I really enjoy listening to Emmanuel. He has fascinating ideas. I love his thoughts. I love to listen to his ideas, and I think he's I think very highly of him.
Thank you so much for saying that. Just unprovoked, completely spontaneous.
I would say to you, caller, just listen more carefully next time. You might change your opinion.
You know, Alex, I'm going to find you at some point.
Well, you know, this is something that maybe we should address, right? Because we got some listener mail about this, right? Where, you know, people talk about you and I bickering on the show, where we argue about various things. Some people like it when there's conflict on the show, and other people don't like it when there's conflict on the show.
Can I just ask our caller, is there anything else you wanted to say?
I'm preempting him, yes.
I was just going to piggyback off of the conversation about James Dolan and how people use their entities to as a personal grudge or vendetta. I was thinking about when he actually threw Charles Oakley out of the Garden.
Yes,
Charles Oakley. I don't know if you guys follow basketball.
I remember
that. Arguably one of the greatest power forwards in the New York Knicks history.
Uh-huh.
And the guy paid for a ticket.
Right.
And I don't know what transpired with him between him and Dolan, but they violently threw the guy out, which was insane to me. I just wanted to add that to the conversation. That's all.
Okay. Well, thanks for bringing that up as well. I think that got resolved, though, did it not?
I believe it did. Believe it did. And I think Charles Oakley had to pay something because there was some evidence of him sending emails. I don't know what those emails contained. And he deleted them. So it was, I don't know the full story, but it was resolved. But nevertheless, I mean, if you have a disagreement with someone and you buy a ticket, and considering his history with the team, I mean, to be violently tossed out was just,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's, I should look into that story again. I'd like to recollect what happened then.
but I enjoyed the conversation. Like I said, I've been listening to, I probably shouldn't bring his name up, but Bernie S., the Benedict Arnold. We won't go there, but I know the story. And I'm going to continue to listen, and I love you guys, and take care.
All right, thanks for your call. Take care.
All right. Okay, bye.
What a great call to end on. Now, Alice, continue with what you were saying.
Oh, what I would say is, yeah, some people get a little worked up when you and I argue about various things, Emmanuel.
No, they don't. You're wrong.
Yeah. But what I should say is that, you know, in as much as we may bicker like a husband and wife couple or something like that, I don't know what the particular analogy is.
Different analogy, please.
Yeah, well, whatever, right? But we've known each other a very, very long time. We can disagree on things, and I think it's a good example of how people can reasonably disagree on things and still be friends. And mm-hmm. and we've known each other for, my God, almost 33 years now, which is like a crazy, crazy thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, you really, literally are one of my oldest friends.
Wow.
And I don't mean in kind of, you know, dog years. I mean, but 33 years is a long time to have a friendship. So we weathered a lot of storms, and we'll continue to fight and bicker. In whatever analogy you want to choose to, you know, have it like brothers, like husband and wife, I don't know, whatever. But I look forward to many, many more arguments with you over the years to come.
How about other people? Do you want to argue with other people too?
Absolutely. I'll take Gila and Rob on anytime. No doubt.
We don't argue much, so.
We do too.
I recommend it. It's, you know, people shy away from arguing. And I don't think that's healthy, because you shut yourself off to different opinions. Don't interrupt me, Alex. You shut yourself off to other opinions, and that's an opportunity for you to examine why you believe what you say, and also to maybe consider that you might be wrong.
Yeah.
And Alex, I'm happy to see that
you're
doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just have very calm discussions about our points of disagreement.
In fact, Gila, I do want to say that I enjoy listening to you on this program, and I think you have a lot of good ideas, and you're really sharp, and you know, I think you add a lot.
Thank you. And I want to say that I think you're very, very clever. I enjoy listening to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're my favorite part of the show.
Both of you sounded like there was a butt that was going to follow that statement.
Well, I've never met anybody faster on his feet than Rob. I mean, you ask him for a pun, and you know, he just whips one right out.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. This man has such facility with puns.
But, any pun, or just in a particular subject?
I think we should try this next week. I mean,
why don't we try it right now?
All right, go for it, Rob. You got to give us a pun.
But no, you got to give him like material to cheat off of. You got to give him some.
Well, what material? Should we go off the MSG facial recognition settling scores with biometrics type of pun? I don't know.
How the hell do you make a pun from that?
Well, no, I mean, MSG facial recognition is my favorite kind because it's got that umami to it.
There you go.
Get me to it.
Wow.
Awesome.
I think we discovered what the source is.
Up. Literally,
I think so too.
Osmosis. Yep. All right. Well.
Well, with that,
I know that was for you, but I couldn't help it.
No, that was awesome.
I think it's time for us to turn our air conditioning on and put whatever devices we have, and start to recover from this episode. Listeners as well. We will be back next week with a 1-hour show on WBAI. If you're a caller to Off the Hook Overtime, please. Don't call that one, because that's for the people who listen on the radio, even if you're one of those people, too. Let's give other people a chance as well. We will see you again on Overtime in 2 weeks. Stay cool, and I don't have anything else to say.
Temperature's rising. It's getting hot.
All right, yeah. Maybe it's best. Good night.